On the spot. Dot.
On the spot.
It is PG-13 in our theater.
So I had no desire to see it, but honestly, it worked out very well.
The movie was actually originally called God Party. 5 stars. I'm going to say 1 star. I will never see it again. And I feel bad for those who spent their money to go see it in the first place.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Thought on the Spot Movie Reviews. My name is Tommy, and today we're going to be reviewing the film Dr. Sleep. Dr. Sleep came out on November 8th, 2019, and is a drama, fantasy, horror. The rating is R, and the runtime is 2 hours and 31 minutes. The director of the film is Mike Flanagan, who's also known for Haunting of Hell House and Gerald's Game. Starring in the film, we have Ewan McGregor, who plays Dan Torrance. You'd recognize Ewan from such films as Moulin Rouge, where he played Christian, and Star Wars Episodes 1 through 3, where he played Obi-Wan Kenobi. We also have Rebecca Ferguson, who plays Rose the Hat. You'd recognize Rebecca from such films as Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and Fallout, where she played Isla Faust, and the film Life, where she played Miranda North. We also have Kylie Curran coming in, playing Abra Stone, or rather Abra Stone. You recognize Kylie from a film called I Can, I Will Die, where she played Lily. This is her second film in her acting career. The plot of the film takes place several years since the first movie, which is The Shining. We now see Danny, aka Doc, as a grown-up, and he's dealing with his past and trying to recover from being an alcoholic at the same time. However, on the outside of all of this is a group of people called the True Knot, that travel around looking for their sustenance. The sustenance is called steam, which is what escapes a child that has the shining when they're being killed. As it turns out, Abra has a lot of it, and once Danny finds out that she's being hunted, it's up to Danny to help her out, even if it means going back to the old Overlook Hotel, where, for Danny, it all began.
You're magic, like me.
I need you to listen to me. The world's a hungry place. A dark place.
Hi there.
I only met 2 or 3 people like us. They died. When I was a kid, I bumped into these things. Magic. I always called it the Shining.
Thank you.
All right, so that is the trailer for Dr. Sleep. As you can tell, not a lot of dialogue in the trailer. Really more of like a score with some lines we get to hear a little bit about talking to the girl, as well as, you know, he called it The Shining. That's about really where what we get out of just listening to it. But, you know, take some time, maybe watch the trailer. So let's jump right into the review. I got to admit, before I left, I did watch the old one before I went to go see this one, and I'm glad that I did. It had been a while since I saw the first one, so it was nice to have a reminder of everything that kind of went on. There are some characters that were brought back into the story, and had I not watched it, I think I would have wondered a little bit who they were, or taken a moment for me to realize what was going on. The movie's very long. You know, keeping in mind, the first one was 2 hours and 26 minutes long, and this was back in 1980. However, this was also a Kubrick film, the first one. So people knew it was going to be long. I mean, on his plate before The Shining alone, we had A Clockwork Orange, which was 2 hours and 16 minutes, 2001 A Space Odyssey, which was 2 hours and 29 minutes, and Spartacus, which was 3 hours and 17 minutes. So for Kubrick to have, you know, a long movie was never really a surprise. I also believe that this is why it was alright for the original to be so long, because Kubrick knew how to really make a story flow. Admittedly, though, even the old one is a few slow, it has a few slow points, so, I mean, even he couldn't do it that perfect, and if I'm not mistaken, there's even a longer uncut version by him that is pretty extensive, so, you know, yeah. This movie, however, as far as having a flow, didn't really have it that well. It didn't do it as well. It's not to say that it didn't have it at all, but let's put it this way, it could have been an hour and 45 minutes. If proper editing were done, it could have been an hour and 45 minutes and probably would have been a better movie for it. There's just moments where there is filler and you're kind of ready for the movie to move forward. Speaking about moving forward, so there is some pacing in the film where you are getting a little bit of kind of the creepy vibes and you know, wondering when, you know, when's a big moment going to have or happen, but it doesn't, I would say, I don't get a huge moment, right? Or at least when it does, it feels like it took forever in getting there, so it's a lot of hype for a small, you know, a small surprise. It's like when you buy that huge firework that looks like it's going to be amazing and all it is a bunch of snap, crackles, and pops, right? That's kind of what this feels like when you finally get to the point. Not only that, but the end feels very rushed. Like we waited the whole movie to get back to the hotel again, and then it almost just flashes right through it as if the editor had a ton more footage, but it already cut out so much of the rest of the film that when he finally got to the end, he just kind of cut it to be quick. That's an assumption, but that's what it felt like. You know, they do show some bits from the old film as well, which is kind of nice for a nostalgic flashback. But then they do something weird where they bring new actors in to replicate the old ones as if to act like you don't see the difference. And my thought with this was that if you could take Michael Douglas and make him look super young like they did in Ant-Man, why not do the same thing with Nicholson? Bring him back into the film, do those scenes, but make him look young like you did then. But who knows? Maybe Jack didn't want to come back, right? And so they had to do with what they could. But it does pull you out of the movie a little bit, because the whole time you're judging who that person is supposed to be personifying instead of actually enjoying the film. Now, admittedly, I have not read the sequel for the book that this movie's based off of, because it wasn't just like a bunch of movie guys came together and said we're going to make a sequel to The Shining. King did write a book, and I'm actually interested to see how that goes, because there's some character development that I'm sure is there that the movie couldn't cover, especially such as more members of this this little group called The Knot. I'm sure there's more interesting things that are happening there that obviously the movie couldn't cover. I'm also pretty sure that there's a lot that happens at that old hotel that we don't get to see a lot of. There is quite a bit of what I want to call beating the dead horse. There are things in the original film that were what I would say pivotal moments. Things like Red Rum being written backwards, you know, the old lady in the tub. And they go over that so often in this film that you feel like they took something that was kind of iconic for the original film and just kind of ruined it for the new one because they do it so often. And if I'm being even more honest, the bad guy, I guess you could say, the villain who is played by Rebecca Ferguson, I don't feel like that she's that strong of a character. She's not believable enough for me to be as powerful as they're trying to portray her to be. And so I think that also ruined it for me. Her hat, they don't really, I mean, I don't know, you get this feeling that there's something with her hat and how that's how that kind of harnesses some power, but they never really go that deep as well. So the whole time you're just thinking, why is this lady wearing that weird hat? You know? So in the end, my review for the film is 2.5 out of 5. I didn't completely hate it. I thought it was cool that we finally got a sequel to a movie that came out clear back in 1980, right? I just think it could have been done better. I think we should have brought a better director in, and Ewan McGregor's a great actor. I think we could have gotten some bigger names to play some of the other roles. I think we could have done some movie magic by, if you wanted to bring the old people back, doing that in a way where they were brought back younger, you know, things like that. So that's just my opinion. So 2.5 out of 5 on that. Stingers during or after the credits don't stay for either. There are none. So you're safe to go once you start seeing those roll through. So guys, this concludes my review of Dr. Sleep. And as always, I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen. If you are a first-time listener, you can follow us and please subscribe through facebook.com/thoughtonthespotmoviereviews. That's all written together, no dashes or spaces there. And of course, through anchor.fm/thoughtonthespot. It's because of Anchor that we're available to you now through whatever channel you're listening on. We're on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, we're even on Apple Podcasts, and it's due to Anchor doing that we're able to do that for you now. This is another review in the can. So until next time, grab some popcorn and your favorite drink and go out and see a great film with your family, your friends, or maybe just spend some time to yourself. But most importantly, have a great night.